We are just past the 30th anniversary of the, well, I don't know what you call it, the assault on Waco, the incident in Waco, the story of David Koresh and the Branch Davidians. Joining us now is the author of Koresh, the true story of David Koresh and the tragedy at Waco, Stephen Talty. Stephen, welcome to Talk 107.3. How are you, man?
I'm good. Good to be here.
Glad to have you on. Glad to be talking about this. I got to start with, before we get into what can folks expect from Koresh, what made you want to do this?
You know, I remember watching the siege on CNN when it first happened. After 51 days, you know, it was over, and I asked myself, what did I just watch? It was, you know, perhaps it was the cameras that were parked like 2 miles away. You couldn't even see a face in the window. Mm-hmm. We didn't have direct communication with Koresh and what he was saying, and I had no idea what the FBI had done. So 30 years later, I was like, what is the origin story of this horrible tragedy? Where did it come from? And then, of course, it goes back to David Koresh. So I went to Texas and started researching.
And what did your research find? What can folks expect from Koresh?
You know, it's divided halfway between the story of David Koresh's childhood and life, and then the second half is the story of Waco and what happened there. So what I found was that David Koresh had a very painful childhood. He was, you know, he's a guy with a big ego, but especially the men in his life really treated him terribly. He was abandoned by his father. He was beaten and humiliated by his stepfather. It was sexual abuse. So you're talking about a narcissist who suffered these, you know, terrible wounds to his ego and in a, you know, legitimately awful childhood, and is seeking a way to sort of, you know, correct that, to fix that. And he tried sports, he tried music, but in the end, he went with, you know, his faith and created this, what was essentially a cult in Waco.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it boiled down to. Now, the part of this that dives into what went on once you know, you got Mount Carmel up and running, or he joined in with Mount Carmel, I should say, then there was that little battle where he gained power. Where does it go from there?
Yeah, he gained power. He sort of shoved out the leaders. I mean, the Branch Davidians had been around since the 30s, mm-hmm. but he took it over. And once he was in charge, he, you know, the sad thing is he recreated his own childhood at Waco. He suffered sexual abuse, and he started, you know, abusing young girls. His father had terrorized him, and he started terrorizing his followers. So, you know, the past definitely repeated with David Koresh. He was never able to escape his childhood. Instead, he wanted to be exalted. He wanted to be worshipped, really to make up for all these things he'd suffered in his boyhood.
We're talking with author Stephen Talty about Koresh, the true story of David Koresh and the tragedy at Waco. One of the things about Waco, that, and you're a couple years older than me, Stephen, but one of the things about Waco that I remember was watching it on CNN and only getting that one perspective, that perspective that was, like you said, from a bit too far away. But all the talk after it about government intervention into private lives, this has opened the chapter of America that I think has, or a piece of American history that has a number of individual chapters that are still scrutinized to this day.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to look at the fact that Donald Trump opened his campaign this year at Waco, you know, almost as if it's the new Alamo or something like that. So it's become a landmark in American history, but it means different things to different people. You know, certainly there was the gun rights issue. He did have illegal guns. You know, he had a 50 cal sniper rifle. You can't have that. He was turning weapons into automatics. You can't do that. It's just that the response was so botched. You know, David Koresh left the compound regularly. He went to guitar stores. The locals knew him at the restaurant. So if the ATF had sort of been on its game, they could have just arrested him in town. It would have taken 5 minutes. And this would never have happened. It's just that it was a combination of, I think, incompetence and arrogance. I mean, the ATF, they do this on the regular. They take down drug gangs or gun runners, and nobody really fires back, if you know what I mean. I mean, they're the ATF, they're the government. And the Branch Davidians were a completely different animal, and they were unprepared. And they lost 4 agents, and, of course, Branch Davidian side as well. So a lot of people see this as conspiracy, but I'm like, you know, the government can kill you through bureaucracy just as easy as it can through, you know, a grand conspiracy. So what you really had is not government tyranny, but government inefficiency and arrogance, I think.
Let's talk about that for just a minute, because there have been many conspiracy theories surrounding the tragedy at Waco. Have you found any validity to any of those theories along the way?
I think the one that I can really confirm is that the ATF engaged in a cover-up after the initial raid. They told people that Koresh had no idea that they were coming. That was not true. Koresh had discovered about 45 minutes before the raid that the ATF was on its way. The government knew that Koresh knew, but they still went ahead. So just to cover their butt, they had first denied that Koresh knew, and then they blamed it on the media. So there was a cover-up there, and they told their agents not to speak about it. But the idea that the FBI was executing people with sniper rifles, or that the FBI set the fire, I mean, the FBI had bugs inside the Branch Davidians, and you can hear people on tape saying, you know, bring that kerosene over here, start that fire here. So that part is not true. The Davidians started the fire. But, you know, there are no heroes at Waco. Pearl Harbor has heroes. 9/11 has heroes. The sad thing about Waco is that both sides come off really looking pretty dark.
We're talking with Stephen Talty, author of Koresh, The True Story of David Koresh and the Tragedy at Waco. Stephen, I got to ask you about the psyche and mindset of, well, we'll just say Americans and cults. We saw it with David Koresh. We saw it in the 60s with Charles Manson. We tend to have a fascination with this, either from the perspective of those who actually get sucked in, and then the voyeuristic perspective of those who cannot turn away. Talk to me a little bit about that fascination.
Yeah, you know, that was one question I asked myself. I'm like, you know, these kind of self-proclaimed prophets and cults, if you will, have been around, you know, through millennia. There's prophets who've come wandering out of the desert. But it seems in modern times, it always happens in America. And I guess it's because it's, you know, the land of freedom and self-reinvention. If you're just like a failed rock musician like David Koresh, you can become a cult leader. I mean, there's an openness to American society, and also this deep religious background that we have, you know, that even if most people don't attend church now, America's always been a religious place, a place of faith. So there's both the opportunity of these sort of brilliant but disturbed individuals to claim things and have people believe them, because Americans are always looking, you know, for that path to reinvention or that path to salvation. And then you have this long history of people, perhaps their aunts or their father and mother were religious, even if they're not. So they're thinking about it. It's almost a nostalgic thing. So, yeah, I think America is susceptible to cults and cult leaders in a way that other places aren't. And it's just been part of our history, really, since the beginning.
David Koresh and the tragedy at Waco has been covered a lot by a number of different documentaries. Heck, there's a hot one on Netflix right now, for that matter. What does your book have that others don't? What did you find that really you find separates, sets it apart from others?
You know, a lot of them focus on the 51 days of the siege, and I'm like, really, the 33 years in David Koresh's life that preceded that are more important, because that's how he got there. Once he was inside and the FBI had surrounded him, I think more people could have gotten out, but I think it was going to be a confrontation. There was going to be a violent end. So I wanted to know the origin story, what his childhood was like, how was his personality formed, and I think that's what I have in my book that other people don't.
We got Stephen Talty. For just one more, and I appreciate you being so generous with your time this morning. What's next for you? David Koresh is fascinating and follows along the lines with the work you normally do. What's next for you?
You know, I can't really say exactly, but it's I'm looking at a World War II spy story that hasn't been told. It has to do with a hidden secret in America's past. So I'm getting to work on it now, and I think it's a fantastic story.
Put us on the list to talk about it once it's out. I'm already looking forward to it. The book is called Koresh, The True Story of David Koresh and the Tragedy at Waco. He's Stephen Talty. Thank you so much for a couple minutes this morning.
Thanks for having me.